Sean Higgins and Tony Martinez, and on this CD, we're going to talk about tax deed investing and what that's all about. This should be a lot of fun.
Well, and again, another way put is, how do you get the property every single time?
Guaranteed, and that's the tax deed. So let me explain real quickly, and we're going to go through some examples. Let me explain the difference between a tax lien and a tax deed. With a tax lien, you're giving the county the money for the back taxes on the property that were due for a particular year, and they have a redemption period. And if they don't meet that redemption period, like we've talked in earlier CDs, you can end up foreclosing and getting the property. With a tax deed state, now every state has different rules. About, ballpark, half are tax lien states and half are tax deed states. In a tax deed state, it has already been delinquent for 3, 4, maybe even as long as 5 years. Nobody's bought a lien on it because the county wouldn't allow anybody to. And at the very end, the county forecloses on it and offers the back taxes for you to own the property. There is no redemption period. There is no interest rate. You own it free and clear. And you know what, Tony? Before we wrap up this CD, we'll talk a little bit about the financing, too. Let's get on that. So that's really the difference on it. So I want to make it very clear. We're going to talk about going to a tax deed auction. Tony and I do this on a regular basis. We're going to talk about the research that's involved, but I want to understand the tax lien and tax deed. I want you to hear this. A tax lien is the beginning of the process. In other words, they've only been late a year. A tax deed, they've already been late for a number of years, and they've had that grace period with the county itself.
I think it's important here, too. There's a couple, two or three exceptions to this, but in general.
We have broad brushstrokes here.
Right. There, a state is either a tax lien certificate state or other states are tax deed states. There's a couple of exceptions, and I don't even want to bring them up here.
No.
There's a couple of exceptions you'll learn about through our advisors and so forth.
But for right now, come to live conferences or anything like that. Yeah.
But for right now, I really want to focus on the fact is there's a distinction. There are tax lien certificate states that offer tax lien certificates. When you make the investment, you're acquiring a lien on the property. In a tax deed state, what's happening in a tax deed state, you're actually buying the property outright.
Yeah, you're giving them the money for the back taxes, and they hand you the deed to the property.
And in that period of time, between the day they go delinquent and the offering of the tax deed, nothing can happen.
Yeah. Nobody can go in there and buy a lien or anything else like that. Literally, the county is actually giving the grace period and going from there.
It's an internal grace period.
Yeah, it's an internal grace period. And why would a county have a lien or a state have a lien as opposed to a deed? Yeah, it's just really, it's a legislated decision.
Exactly.
I don't really care, but that's how it works, okay? So let's talk about it. That's the difference between the two. So obviously, or maybe not so, but very, very bluntly, you have to do more research with the tax deed, Tony, because you are owning the property. You're not going to be able to go in and inspect the property. You're not going to be, you know, sometimes there's somebody going to be in it, sometimes there's not. Sometimes there's all sorts of different strategies we'll talk about.
And I don't know if it's more research. You have to make sure that you go through every single one of the research steps without exception.
Right.
And
you're not winging anything.
Exactly.
Not that we have said that you wing it with the tax liens, but I mean, I'm putting up $8,000 on a particular piece of property. I better want that property because I'm not going to, you know, when a tax lien, I'm buying it because they're going to redeem and I get the property if they don't. With a tax deed, you're getting the property.
Yeah. There's no, I might get the property. You're acquiring the property, period, end of story. So just know that you're going in to the situation as if, or knowing for a fact that you're acquiring the property outright.
Now, therefore, you're also going to be looking at a different dollar amount.
Right.
Because if they're already late 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you're going to be looking at 3, 4, or 5 years worth of taxes. So, for instance, a $100,000 piece of property, your opening bid can be anywhere from, depending on the county, depending on the assessed values, depending on their millage rate and all that other good stuff, you could be looking anywhere from, what, Tony, $3,000 to $5,000. As an opening bid on that. And let's talk about financing, just to keep it really raw here.
Okay.
If I were to buy that property for $5,000, but I don't have the $5,000, or I don't want to put it up. Some counties out there, again, some counties out there will allow you to finance it. Now, they don't call it financing. What do they call it, Tony?
Buying on contract.
Buying on contract. So you don't go into the county and go, oh, I'm looking for the finance program. They'd look at you like you're crazy, because that's not what they're doing. Some counties, like there's one county that says, put $5,000 or 7% down, whichever is greater, and then the balance is paid in 90 days. Some counties say put 10% down and bring one payment a year in for 10 years. Yep. It really depends on the jurisdiction.
There's another county that has 20% down and no payments.
For 7 years.
4 years.
Four years. And there's like a balloon payment at the end of four years.
And so what we're saying is there's some, when you're acquiring deeds, when you're acquiring properties outright, there are some counties that offer some financing programs. They call it buying on contract. But what is financing? It's signing a contract that you will pay a certain amount at a later date.
Well, let's talk about this. Why would the county do that?
Well, I mean, it's again, as it should be logical, it should be common sense, and although it isn't necessarily, think about it. The county owns the property outright. The property's worth $100,000. There's $10,000 in back taxes, penalties, and costs that would have accumulated on the property. They sell it to you for $10,000. Let's say they finance you. And again, when these financing programs are no qualifying, so you don't have to show a credit statement. You don't have to show a financial statement. You don't have to show bank statements. You don't even have to show a verification of employment.
No, you have to be 18.
Yeah, and you have to be of legal age. And
you don't even have to be a U.S. citizen.
Correct. And why would they do that? Well, they take your $10,000, and if you default, they just take the property back.
Take the 10%. Remember, it's $10,000. They take $1,000, and if you don't make any payments, they already own the property, but one in the hand is better than two in the bush, and you have to start paying property taxes.
Exactly. And so it puts the property back on the tax roll, and if you default, they just take the property back, no problem, and they just resell the property to another investor. So right. there is absolutely no reason for them not to finance it.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's not like you're going to take the property and move to another county.
Right.
So it's not going anywhere. So it's a really cool little deal. Don't get all obsessed on that. We've had some clients, I'm looking for, know that that's an option out there that you have. We've used it before. It's fine. It works. It's good. So take advantage of it.
So the way they're going to kick off the acquisition process is each county is going to have what's called a tax sale. Everyone's probably heard the terminology tax sale. Well, this is tax sales. Typically, that's what's happening, is they're offering these types of properties for sale at a tax sale. And
now let's talk about the timing on this. Some counties have them once a year. Some counties have them every month. Some counties have them three or four times a year.
Correct.
And again, it just really depends on how the laws are set up in that particular area. But
well, and it changes from year to year.
It changes from year to year. Sometimes they have more. Sometimes they have less. I mean,
right.
There's a county in Texas, and I think it was somewhere in Fort Worth. Anyways, there's 330 properties coming up right now because they backed off over the last couple of months.
Right.
So, and then other months I've seen 14.
Right. And so that's going to change a little bit. We actually, on our websites, mm-hmm. and in our resources, the resources you have, we have a listing of basically every county in the United States and approximately when they typically have their auctions. So you have that resource available to you already.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about that. And when you receive a list, you're gonna do the exact same thing. The same narrow down the list research process. The same 14 steps are gonna happen. And the way the counties do it is, first of all, there's going to be an auction. And this is going to be a competitive auction. It's either going to be a live, face-to-face, you're in a room with other people auction, bidding against other people on these properties. And other times, it's going to be an online auction where you're actually bidding against other people online, similar to what they do on eBay and other online auction sites like that. And you're bidding to acquire the property. And people think, well, if it's an auction, is it competitive? Do the properties get bid up too high? And the answer is yes and no. Some auctions, there's a lot of competition. Other auctions, there's not a lot of competition.
I'll give you an example, Tony. I was at one 3 weeks ago. The first auction they had of the year was just a few weeks before that, and there were probably 19 people there. It was some stupid bidding going on, you know, and it didn't bother me at all. It happens all the time. But the next, this one I went to last week that we ended up with the property at, there was four people there.
Right.
So, you know, don't take a snapshot, go to an auction, go, oh, that's how it is. No, it's not.
Yeah, and we mentioned this on a previous CD, and here's what's really, really critically important. As we have mentioned, that what was Sean and I, what was our secret, or what was the vital factor that where we outperformed everyone else is because we were consistent. Meaning we didn't go to one auction or acquire one list and make a judgment call.
Yeah,
make a judgment call based upon that one list. We were doing just the opposite. We were sending out letters, 10, 15, 20 letters a week. So we were consistently looking at lists. We were consistently doing research. We were consistently having something new to take a look at. And it's the same thing with tax deeds. That same level of consistency of always having something new to take a look at so that if you go to an auction – and that auction doesn't work out, or you participate in an online auction.
You know, it's not the only, it's not a do or die situation.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. One of the, when you're looking at these, some of the prices may be out of your range, and don't let that stop you from doing the research because, again, we're going to get back to the practicing, what I talked about earlier. Practicing on tax deeds is crucial, and not any more so than tax liens. The fact of the matter is, if you're looking at a piece of property that has a higher value and has a higher amount of taxes on it, you think, well, this is out of my budget, you can actually start documenting that as a case study that you can use when you're going to talk to somebody about investing money for them. I mean, if I've got liens under my belt, let's say I've bought 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 liens, and I've got those all documented, Tony. And then I'm looking at a tax deed, but it's a little out of my price range. But I also document it as if, and right. I show what the prices are. I come to somebody and say, look, here's what I'm doing. Here's the guarantee. I'm also getting these. If you have an interest, let me know on that. Because there's a lot of people out there say, I don't have the kind of money to make that happen. Please do not let that stop. If Tony and I started with the money that we had, we wouldn't have ever got started because we didn't have any money.
Right.
You know?
And yeah, so you know, so a good point Sean's bringing up, and one of the things that we've always done is we document everything. I have documentation from auctions that I went to back in 1992 and 91 that where I just gathered all the information. My highlighted list, I still have them. To be able, what I was doing is I was creating a portfolio that I could show someone and say, listen, these are the taxings I acquired. These are the ones that I didn't. Had I acquired these ones, this is what would have happened.
Well, yeah, and here's a crucial thing, Tony, that a lot of people make the mistake on when they sit there and go, you know, how many times does somebody come up to us and say, you know, if I can get this deal done, do you have the money to do it?
Right.
That's the wrong way to approach it.
Right.
Approach somebody when you need the money, not before you need the money. There's nothing more irritating to me that somebody comes to me and goes, if I can get this done, are you interested? I'm not the one in blue holding my breath waiting for that person to come back. As opposed to somebody that says, I've got a deal, here's the value, here's, you know, I mean, and we need this money.
So
I've got a decision to make.
Very simple concept to grasp. Deal first, money second.
Yep.
And until you have a deal, don't ask for the money.
Yep.
And so, again, so that was the point Sean was making about.
Well, and here's the thing. And some people go, wait a second. What if they say no? Okay, then go to another one. After a while, they're going to be like, this is the third one you brought. Yeah, the first one you turned down, you could have made this kind of money.
Right.
You know, you can, with tax liens, indeed, you can make it ridiculous for not to do it.
So be prepared that you're going to go to an auction to start off with tax deeds. Now, there are properties that don't sell at the auction. They do get taken back into the inventory by the county, and you can buy tax deeds over the counter directly from the county as well. What I would be prepared to do is you have to be prepared for what an auction, how an auction works in a tax deed sale. It is a competitive bidding process. And for some people, that scares people off, and other people, it doesn't.
It excites them, yeah. So let's walk through this real quickly, Tony. Okay, let's just look through a scenario here. You're going to a tax deed sale. We're going to go through some examples here in a minute. But you're going to a tax deed sale. What are some of the things, obviously, like we did with the tax liens, you're going to do research on the property. You're going to make sure that property is ready to go. So let's go through some of those steps.
So here's a couple of things. When I prepare for an auction, here are some of the things that I everything that we went through in the research process, when I'm sitting at an auction, I'll give you an example. I typically sit at an auction and I have so much documentation in front of me. I typically have two or three chairs sitting in front of me and I have all of my paperwork spread out. And what I'll have is I'll have a picture of the property with the subdivision map showing me exactly where the property is at. I'm going to know exactly what the value of the property is. And I'm going to know exactly what the opening bid is. And I already have figured out my maximum bid that I'm willing to pay.
Okay, stop right there. Sure. Maximum bid that you would be willing to pay. Is that important?
It's the all critical, right. Critically important factor.
Don't get emotional.
Yeah. Well, number one, and be prepared.
Right.
You know, go in there knowing the maximum you're willing to pay for a property before you get there. You will not believe how many people walk into an auction, have no idea, never took the time. They know they want a property. They go in there with this philosophy. Well, I'll see how the bidding goes. And what happens is this. They see how the bidding goes, and they just jump in.
Yeah.
They jump into the bidding somewhere, and they have no idea where they're going. And where right. they end up is where they end up.
And one of the things we'll do, Tony, those of you that make it to a workshop, we do a scenario where we do a live auction.
An actual live auction.
Yeah, and we show you exactly how it works with all the people. You have to make a determination, high bid, low, you know, all that stuff.
All of these factors.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And so if you follow where I'm at here, is I have a picture of the property right in front of me. Mm-hmm. I have a plat map, you know, showing me a subdivision map, showing me exactly where the property is at so I can remember. I have all of my notes about the property are right in front of me. I have the list, the auction list, so I know when it's going to come up for auction. So I'm prepared in advance, and I have them laid out in order. And I'm watching how the bidding's going on. When it comes to, when my property comes up, I don't have to really think about anything. I've done all my thinking before I got
right.
there. Here's all I have to do. I just have to bid up to that amount, and if it goes above that amount, I just drop out.
You turn the page and go on to the next one.
Really. And people go, well, what if it was only $50 more than what you had on the paper? Well, the minute I bid at that 50, someone's going to bid again.
Yeah.
And now I'm in a bidding war.
And you're going over and you're trying to do math in your head as you're going. That doesn't work. I've seen people lose that
way. The minute you go over your bid, if your maximum bid was $5,000 for a property and someone bid $5,100 and you go, well, it's just $200 more, so I'll bid $5,200. It wasn't the $200 more because that person or someone else is going to bid, because sometimes people wait late mm-hmm. and don't bid till the bidding slows down. And now you're at $5,200, but someone else jumped in and someone else jumped in and now you're caught up again.
Mm-hmm.
So if my maximum bid's $5,000 without exception, I drop out because what I think people need to understand is very few people go to an auction prepare to buy multiple properties.
Right.
They came there to buy one.
Here's another key.
They came there
to buy two. Here's a key point. There can be 20 people at an auction, Tony, and I'd say there's probably only three or four that are actually participating in the auction.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you this. It's okay to go to an auction to watch and see what goes on, because some of you might be a little nervous with the atmosphere there, and that's okay. But don't jump in if you're not prepared.
Exactly.
You know?
And so one of the preparation steps is always to have, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 properties to bid on
right.
that you've done research on. Here's where you will absolutely blow away your competition. None of your competition at the auction will have researched that many properties.
No.
And because of that, you'll always have the advantage, and you'll always have by having multiple properties that you can make money on that you've researched all the way through. The key to that is when you lose a deal, you have a backup deal.
Yeah, you're just going on to the next one.
Backup deal. I mean, I've went to auctions where I've actually had researched out 200 or 300 different properties so that I knew for a fact I was walking out of there with something.
Right, right.
And here's the other thing I knew on the other side of that. I knew no one sitting in that room was going to research 200 properties.
Yep.
And so back to, you know, a philosophy we talked about early on.
And you know that not every single person in that room is going to be bidding. So once you've done that, you know, okay, you know, if there's 40 people here and only five are actually bidding, you know they're not going to be buying 500 properties or whatever they can, or 300 or whatever it is.
Exactly.
You've done the research, you're going to end up with one.
The person who does the most research typically is the person.
And here's another game that a lot of you start playing in your head. You start playing what if games before you go to the sale. What if somebody does this? And what you don't know. Oh, this is a really nice property, so everybody's going to want it. You don't know. Oh, this is a piece of garbage properties. You don't know. So do the research as if, find your bids and just stick with it. You don't care what other people are doing. One of the things you're going to find out is 90% of the people there don't know what they're doing.
That's a fact. And because of that, you'll always have the advantage. And it's just like anything else. The more prepared you are, the higher the advantage you're going
to
have.
Let me give you an example of a sale that I went to two or three weeks ago. Okay, this is a perfect example. I've been to many, many sales there before. I've probably gone to two sales in the last 3 months there, not done anything, done all my research. This particular one I had done research on, and there was four properties I was looking at. One of them was pulled before the auction, and the other two went above my bidding price. And the third one, I got at the opening bid. Right. Okay, I paid $8,800 and change for it, so under $10,000 for the property. Ended up getting the property. Now, I knew
just so everyone knows, this is a single-family residential home.
Single-family residential home, fair market value of about $80,000 to $90,000. Needed a little bit of work on it, you know, no big deal, you know, some what I call the mop and glop, beige carpet, tan paint, you know, a glaze plug-in, and you're good to go on that. But, you know, here's something I can go into. Okay, if I had not put that on my list, because it was not nearly as nice as the other three that I didn't end up getting,
right.
But that was, I knew, well, you know what, that's going to be kind of nice. I know what to do with that one. And I knew other people were going to be afraid of that property because it looked like it needed some work.
Right.
You know, there were some weeds up in front and some other stuff. Well, you know, okay, I'm okay with that. At $8,000 with a $70,000 value or $90,000 value in that ballpark, you know, I could have dumped $20,000 into it and been right. And been okay. You know,
right.
So just a perfect example of, and then the next week, the next auction we went there, we ended up getting two properties.
Right.
So you just don't know.
Again, most people, and I just want to bring this back to where we're at. Most people sitting at an auction are not there to buy multiple properties. And you're not necessarily there to buy multiple properties. Most people aren't there because they're not there to buy multiple properties. They're there to buy one or two. So they haven't researched out the whole list. And by you having multiple properties that to have an opportunity to acquire is where you're going to win, because you can always drop out of the bidding at the other properties and always have something else to invest in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what you're looking at. When you go, now let's keep going with this property over here. So I ended up getting it for $8,000. Immediately, I called up a realtor in the area.
Now, this is an out-of-state property, right?
Out-of-state, yeah, a couple thousand miles away. Called a realtor in the area and said, I got this property. He started laughing. And I said, what's so funny? He says, you're my most consistent customer. I'm not a client, I'm a customer, you know. Anyway, so I got my guy on the phone, went down there. Now, my guy is the guy that does any of my rehab. And right now in today's market, you know, depending on where you live, there's always somebody, if it's a large enough real estate office, that's doing a lot of the foreclosure fix and flips type of thing, where they
right.
have to go in there for the company, do some doctoring on the property and go from there. It was really easy to find. So with this particular property, I had their guy go by there. I know him really well. His name is Jeffrey. Jeffrey goes by the property, calls me back up. He says, look, you're looking at about $15,000. If you want to replace the roof, we're probably looking at about $18,000, and I can be in and out of there. He says, it's going to be 2 weeks, but I'll be in and out of there in 5 days. In and out in 5 days, ready to go, paint the whole nine yards. So now I've got to make a decision on it, okay? Let's just, worst case scenario, unseens. I put $20,000 into it. I've got $8,000 into it. So round it up to 10. I own it for 30, Tony.
Okay.
Right? So I own it for 30. It's in a $70,000 to $80,000 market, okay? So if I sold it for 60, I put 30 in my pocket, right?
Right.
Okay, if I put the work into it. My other option is to do this. I said, you know what? I told Jeffrey, I said, let me ask you this. Who do you know that's looking for their own fixer-upper? He goes, well, I would be. I said, so what would you give me for the house? He said, well, I'll give you $40,000.
Done.
Okay, so I don't do any of the research or the rehab on it. I let him do all the rehab. Now, guess what? He can do it cheaper than $18,000 because all he's got is his sweat equity.
Right.
His sweat equity goes into it. So does he win in that situation?
Absolutely.
Do I win in that situation?
Absolutely.
County wins in that situation.
Right.
Everybody wins. So I still put the same dollar amount in my pocket. So if
right.
I sell it for 40, back up my 8, I make 32, but I don't have the time value of money in there also.
Right, exactly.
So again,
you get all your money up front. And that's one thing with deeds.
You got options.
Yeah, you have options. You can fix it up yourself, rent it out long term. You can flip it for a quick profit. You could even, because you own it free and clear, you can borrow against it.
Yep. I could have done this. Okay, let's just say we put the $20,000 into it. I'm going to round it up. So now I'm in the property, $28,000 and change. And the rental market in that area is about $850 to $900 a month. Okay, so you know, I don't have my calculator sitting in front of me, but those of you out there at home, I'm sure you can replay this back.
It's about $10,000.
Yeah, do the return on investment there. Right. Do the ROI on that, and with the depreciation. I mean, come on. You can do a lease option back to a property owner. There's so many things you can do because again, you're in the property so low.
Yeah, and that's. And I don't remember if we had mentioned this on previous CDs. Early mentor of ours, a guy named Dan Perano, he said, price solves all issues. Problems. You know, so when it comes down to, you know, well, what about the real estate market's going down and interest rates are here? And he had one philosophy from day one, and this goes back to 1990, and he says, price solves all issues. And even when the real estate market crashed recently here, he said the same thing. He's not really concerned about what the market's doing. Is what can I acquire the property for?
Right.
So if the property is currently worth $90,000, and I can acquire it for $10,000, then price solves all issues.
Well, let's go through that. I mean, let's just go back. I own the property for $8,800. Let's call it $9,000 for this. Okay.
Yeah.
So what are my options? Unlimited. You can come to me and say I'll take it and fix it up. Okay. Well, how much are you going to pay me? You could pay me $20,000 for this property, got a smoking deal on it, and I doubled my money in a couple of days.
Exactly.
There's an option.
Well, and even thinking through from a student standpoint, like some of my early tax deeds that were similar to this, mm-hmm. where I would get into a property very inexpensively that needed some work, but it was out of state, I would just, as fast as I could liquidate it, I would liquidate.
Right.
And I would just have a local real estate agent.
Unless you're doing a lot in that area, it wouldn't make let them do the work. Let them fix it.
Exactly.
Let them hang out at Home Depot.
So I mean, if you sold it for $20,000 and it was appraising at $80,000 or $90,000, it's going to sell same week.
Right.
No matter what real estate market you're in, no matter where it's located, it could be in the worst school district in the world and someone's going to buy it for $20,000.
Yep.
And that's a way to put cash in your pocket fast. And not have well, to do it headache
free. Let's say that I had an investor. Let's say it wasn't my $8,800, $9,000 that bought this property. Tony, let's say you lent me that money to do that, and I turned around and I made $20,000 on the deal, gave you back your $8,000 plus profit, whatever deal we worked out. What would that do to you as an investor with me? Would that motivate you?
Yeah, I mean,
don't talk about it. Show me, right? That's what
exactly.
I don't tell me about it. Show me the money,
right?
As Jerry Maguire loves to say,
yeah.
Show me the money. You know, so there's again, price solves all issues.
Yeah, so liquidating it quickly, and because you're in it inexpensively, again, we'll go through these again because I think it's important for you guys to understand that there are multiple options available. And
let's do this. Let's say I rent the property. Let's go down that road.
Okay.
Let's say I buy it for $8,000-$9,000. I put $20,000 into it. I'm doing it $28,000. Let's say I'm doing this in my retirement account. I'm using my QRP, my qualified retirement plan, to do this. And let's say I'm renting it out for $800 a month.
Okay.
Okay. So now I've got income coming in on this.
$900 a month.
I own the property free and clear. I got $900 a month coming in. Multiply that. You know, what are we looking at? At about $13,000 a year in income on that. I mean, it's incredible what happens to that. And then let's say I did that. Let's say I did that scenario 10 times.
Right.
Okay. So now I've got $120,000 in income coming in.
Right.
Okay. And I own each one of the properties free and clear.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's game over.
Game over. Yeah, you own the properties free and clear. You've got income coming in. That's when you buy the Winnebago and say, "Honey, we're going to go and tour the country," or whatever it is that you're doing. You know.
Well, and let's take it the lease option, and especially in today's marketplace where it's so difficult for people to get financing to buy a home.
Right.
And so let's take it another step. Let's say you do lease options. So now you have a person who wants to be a homeowner. They can't qualify conventionally through a bank, so you lease it to them with an option to buy. And the way you lease it to them, there's, you know how many people out there right now today, millions, who have a down payment and because of
have the a good job,
have a good job, have a down payment, can't qualify.
Yep.
Even
they, I read in the Wall Street Journal the other day that they're literally, what did they say? They said they're, because financing is so difficult, they're taking borrowers, turning them upside down, and shaking every nickel out of their pocket before they'll approve anything. So right. You go through the lease option on
this. You go to the lease option, you say, okay, here's what I want. I want $5,000 down as a down payment. I'm going to lease it to you with an option to buy. The $5,000 goes towards the purchase price. I'm leasing it to you for $900 a month. $450 of that is going to go towards the purchase price of the property.
Maybe you got 3 years to lease it back.
Right. You maybe have a 3-year lease back. And now the person has the option to whether they want to purchase it or not purchase it at some point.
Well, so what you've also done in a situation like that, Tony, is by extending it beyond the 12 months, right now in our current tax situation, I don't know when you're listening to these CDs, but that becomes a long-term capital gains.
Right.
So that changes that. If you sell it within the first 12 months, you get ordinary income, you know, all these other, that gets crazy. So that you solve a couple problems there.
Exactly. So you got the lease option, or you could just flat out sell it to someone
and carry
the note. And if they don't, you say, okay, I want $8,000 down, right? So they give you 10% down in essence. You're selling it for $90,000. You take 10% down.
Let's say the going interest rate is 5%, just for argument's sake. You say, listen, since I'm carrying it and you can't qualify the bank, I'll charge you 7%.
7% interest
rate. And if you don't, a lot of people don't know this, Tony, but if you go to a bank, any bank, they'll actually set up an amortization schedule for you and be the recipient of the money, so you're not and give that person a payment booklet. There's a small fee for doing that, but very nominal.
Yeah, absolutely. And so now what you've done is you recouped 100% of your initial investment back.
Yep.
You now have a note that's bringing you in an income on a monthly basis. You helped someone else out that couldn't qualify for a loan. Now they're a homeowner, so now they're taking good care of the property. Why are they taking good care of the property? Because they own it.
Right.
It's their house. It's not like renting out a property where renters don't care.
Right.
So now even with the lease option, same thing. They're owning the property. When you're carrying the paper, they're owning the property. So they're taking care of the house. They're fixing up the house. If they defaulted, you could either work out a better payment schedule if you wanted. If you needed to take the property back, again,
you've got options.
You've got options. So there's so many amazing options. And you don't have those same options when you're acquiring real estate for 70 or 80 cents on the dollar.
No, you don't.
As you do, you can acquire through short sales and bank-owned real estate and conventional foreclosure methodologies.
But your numbers better be real good, because if something messes
one
up
hiccup,
on one hiccup.
And you're acquiring real estate at 70, 80, and 90 cents on the dollar. Well, when you're acquiring real estate for 10 cents on the dollar, which is the only strategy you can do that through is our strategy, tax and certificate strategy, the number of options demolishes anything else in the marketplace as well.
Absolutely.
So just wanting you guys to understand how lucrative the tax deed strategy
is. Well, let's go through this, because I don't want to tease anybody and take it away. What if I were to do this, Tony? What if I bought this property, which is what I did on this particular case study? I bought this with my retirement money. Using a qualified retirement plan, I'm the administrator, I'm the trustee. We're going to talk about it in a later CD. But because I did that, it doesn't matter what I do. It's a tax-deferred event. So whether I sell it right now, I sell it later, all that money is going back into my retirement account. Now I'm young. I'm way away from my retirement age, but still, all of that income would be coming into my property, or excuse me, my retirement account.
Into your retirement account.
Yeah, and just growing it. I still got the cash back in there, and it just your retirement almost becomes its own machine within itself.
What it does is, there's so many people who are probably listening to the CD who feel like they're behind on their retirement.
Oh yeah,
meaning they know that
TikTok.
Yeah,
what's the Pink Floyd song? You know, 10 years just got behind you. You know, no one told you when to run. I mean, it goes. Sorry, going down a rabbit hole there, Tony. I mean, time goes by fast.
Well, I mean, but what I'm saying is I know for a fact that people listening to CDs right now going, if something doesn't change quickly, I'm going to be in trouble in my retirement years.
How many people listen to CD and have a friend, a family member, somebody from church that is struggling right now in their retirement years?
Right.
Again, folks, those of you listening, you can't see us, I got my hand up. Everybody in here listening to this has somebody. You don't want to be that person. That's actually one of the things that drives
me. So it's another option.
Yeah.
It's another option to accelerate your retirement accounts,
right?
The success in your retirement accounts.
So there's a couple of options that you can do right now, right there with that type of a property. Now, another thing, I mean, we can get really crazy here, this is stuff that I've done before, is I could take that property, and let's say that it did need a little bit of work. I put some work into it, and I could go back to the local jurisdiction, the county, the state, whatever the deal is, and find some type of a program there that's going to help somebody. Like, for instance, we do a lot of senior programs where we'll actually go there and say, okay, if we bring this property perfect to code, do you have a senior affordable housing program? Where literally they'll have a list. I've seen 700 people on these lists before in different cities that I buy properties in, where as long as the property qualifies, which means they come in there and they make sure that the smoke detectors, you know, a county inspector comes in there, everything complies. I can go to that list. I can find somebody from that list, qualify them, and they can rent the property. And the state or the county or the federal government will actually subsidize a portion of their rent for them.
Right.
You know, I mean, again, your options are so huge.
Right. And again, remember, every county in America has a tax sale, has a tax deed sale. So what we're going to move into now is a strategy that I designed, developed, mastered, perfected, over these past 20 years. And this is a phenomenal strategy, especially for beginning novice investors.
Don't have a lot of money.
Especially those who are starting with extremely limited capital. And this goes back to when Sean and I were acquiring a lot of lists, combing through a lot of lists. And you know what I realized when we were looking at the tax deed strategy, there were basically two types of properties that were available on any given list. One type of property were the improved structures, like Sean and I are talking
right.
about. And when you look at the improved structures, single family residential homes or an apartment building or a duplex or anything like that that's residential, a lot of times on the tax deed strategy, because it's went 5 years without being paid in taxes, some of those properties need a little bit of work.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, wouldn't you agree that a lot of those properties need at least some work?
Yeah, some work. Some very little and some a lot. And,
right.
And but I'm not.
And so as a brand new real estate investor, one of my challenges was in the beginning, before we started getting a little bit more experienced, was I didn't know how to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to get the work done out of state. And I didn't have that. We didn't have hadn't really worked out that whole thing about who to contact and how to get a hold of people. And we started finding these. And what I also started recognizing on these lists is you would look at a list and you would see the same subdivision name over and over and over and over and over again
and
in a
same,
row.
Same exact dollar amount.
Same exact dollar amount. And it would be a lot and block. And the only thing that really changed was the block number or the lot number. And I did a little more research to find out exactly what that was. And what I started finding were subdivisions of lots. So what I want you guys to think about right now is think about a neighborhood that's a brand new neighborhood where they built a bunch of brand new homes. It's a master planned community, if
right.
you will. Might even be a gated community. And there's a bunch of homes built.
Sidewalks, roads,
water,
sewers,
yeah.
Everything's done.
And so there's these beautiful homes in the neighborhood, but they didn't finish building out the subdivision. So there might be 30 lots, there might be 100 lots, where the water, sewer, electricity, telephone, paved streets and gutters are in. You can see the utilities sticking out of the ground. There's even street lights, except there's no homes built on these particular lots. And so I started doing more research on those, and as you probably realize, real estate markets go through cycles. Well, when real estate markets are cycling down, it becomes too expensive to build homes anymore. Meaning what ends up happening in a down market is you can buy a home in a subdivision cheaper than you can build one from scratch.
Right.
And when that happens, when that dynamic happens,
Builders stop building,
and those lots sit there. The builders and owners of the lot, the developers of the lots aren't paying taxes on the lots because they don't know if they can build on them yet.
Right.
They don't know when they're going to build on them, and it's a cash flow thing. They just stop paying on that to stay in business, and they just figure, hey, if the market turns around, I'll pay the taxes and build on them again. If the market doesn't turn around, I'll let them go.
Right.
And so there hasn't been a time in the last 20 years where that scenario wasn't happening somewhere in the United States of America. And over these last 20 years, we have bought and sold through the scenario of acquiring fully improved lots, just like I'm explaining to you, over 2,300 different properties, just in that one strategy by itself, if we singled that one out.
Well, and when I first started doing this with Tony, the first, 4 months, you got to understand, going from zero to hero as far as financially, I did 100, doing a deal with Tony, I made $154,000
on one project.
On one project that we were doing, and there was never a house involved in any of that.
Well, here's what I liked about it, is especially in the beginning. Okay, I'm a brand new real estate investor. You're a brand new real estate investor. We don't really know much. We don't know anything about rehabbing properties.
No, we were experts.
So we don't know anything about fixing up properties. We don't know anything about being a landlord yet.
Yeah.
We surely don't know anything about doing a lease option for anybody. All of those advanced strategies we're just talking about are stuff we learned about later.
We just knew we wanted to put money in our pocket.
Exactly. So we're looking at these lots, and there's water, sewer, electricity, telephone, paved streets, and gutters are in. We don't have to worry about a landlord. Being a landlord, we don't have to worry about fixing anything up.
Plus, Tony, we were getting these things so cheap. I mean, like 500 bucks.
Well, that's the whole thing.
And so it was like an ATM machine almost.
It really, and it still is. And so if you can imagine, I want you to think of a neighborhood right now, somewhere in your area where you live, where you know there's a bunch of homes already built, and right now there's a bunch of lots sitting there that aren't being built on yet. Mm-hmm. And those are the types of lots that we've always been acquiring over these years. And what's the beauty of it is this, even in going to auctions, most people going to auctions aren't going to acquire a lot because it's interesting. They have this mentality that if you acquire a lot that you have to build on it.
Right.
And people couldn't figure out when we first started buying a bunch of lots, people are thinking we're crazy because they're thinking, how are you going to make money? You can't afford to build on those things. We had no interest in building on the lots. All we had an interest in doing is selling the lots. Right. So to give you an example is one of the first subdivisions that we acquired lots in. Now, we bought 84 lots.
Right.
And the lots were $500 each. Now, if you can imagine, and in the subdivision, there's a golf course. Most of the lots were on the fairway of a golf course.
It was designed that way.
Designed that way. There's a lake. And a large pond in the lake. Sean's laughing because that's where my golf balls end up. And all these beautiful homes built in the subdivision and a brand new high school built right next door.
Right.
And so when we went in and bought all these lots, these fully improved lots, everyone thought we were buying them to build on them.
Like we were the developers. And I barely own my car, let alone a truck,
Exactly. And we were buying them to turn around and resell them. And we never had any intention of building on the lots.
Right.
Now, if you can imagine, numbers are numbers. Values are values, and price solves all issues. So we're acquiring the lots for $500. The lots are appraised at $10,000 to $15,000, depending on the lot.
Right.
And we're not trying to sell them for $10,000. We said, okay, we'll liquidate them at $3,000.
Yep.
And
so there's a lot of people going, well, I'll buy one for $3,000, exactly. Just hold it. And we're going, okay, cool. We're tripling our money. Now the funny thing is that's one of the first deals we did that. Tony, tell them how much they're selling for right now.
Those same lots that we had initially acquired for $500, if you went over there and acquired one now, it would be $45,000 to $55,000 for the same lot.
Same subdivision.
And we've done what's amazing about this strategy is what was true back then is true today, and no one can. The other thing I like about it, there's so little competition when you go to an auction for the lots. Everyone wants the houses, and everyone wants the duplexes, and everyone wants the fourplex, and everyone's bidding on all those. The lots come up, and the bidding almost shuts down.
Well, anyway, let's backtrack. Let's go back over to liens. I mean, I go in there. I've bought liens on properties that are literally beachfront lots, ready to build and everything. and I'll put $800 on that. And that's okay. If they redeem, I get a 18% or whatever the going rate is.
Yeah, and I know, or
I own the property. So those of you guys getting started, there's some inexpensive liens on lots that are fully desirable.
As you guys start acquiring lists, whether you're downloading them off the internet through our Ultimate Research tool or acquiring them directly from the county, here's how you locate a subdivision like I'm talking about. And here's the other thing that for us in the early days, especially, you want to talk about time efficient. If we said, okay, all we want to do right now is acquire fully improved lots, we could take any list and just start flipping through the pages,
looking for those
as fast as we can flip through the pages
in a row, yeah.
And then look for anytime you get to a page where there was the same subdivision name a bunch of times in a row, we could just stop at that page. And bingo, we have it. And we just don't even have to research, look at, or do anything else because we just are zeroing in on those. We're just zeroing in on those types of subdivisions. And the same thing is if you download a list, you're going to see this happen all the time. And there's actually more when it comes to tax deeds, properties you can actually acquire. There's more fully improved lots available than even single family.
Well, and here's another thing: you don't have to have 45 in a subdivision.
No.
Sometimes you'll go in and find two or three,
exactly,
or whatever the case is. So don't ignore those. I know Rich, who's going to be on some future, a later CD, excuse me. Rich and I were doing some stuff up in the Midwest, and he was buying lots paid for, free and clear, for $25. $25 fully improved, just scattered in this little
right.
area. They weren't, you know, a subdivision that wasn't built. They had lots that weren't quite built, or not weren't quite the subdivision weren't quite finished with two or three the lots.
And
$25.
Yeah, and I know a lot of the people who are listening to the CD right now are going to be sitting in on some of our online trainings at some point, and sitting in on some of our live two-day workshop training events.
Mm-hmm.
And what you guys are going to see are multiple examples of what we're speaking about right now, where we show you the actual aerial photos and the Google Map aerial photos and pictures of the properties and the appraisals. You'll get to see the actual appraisals.
Whether you're in London, Singapore, Australia, New York, Texas, we've got conferences worldwide.
So. Yeah, and you'll be able to see the actual spreadsheets. I mean, the Excel spreadsheets of the properties that we acquired and how much we sold them for and all of the numbers to realize how lucrative this strategy is. And understand, it's been one of the most lucrative strategies that we've implemented over these past 20 years because of the sheer simplicity of it, of not having to worry about rehabbing, of not having to worry about being a landlord, and how fast we can find them on any given list on top of that. And then once how inexpensively we can acquire them. And I'll go through some numbers on one deal real quick if I can find
which one you're looking at.
I have the spreadsheet here, I think.
There's all sorts. I mean, there's different ways that you can also do some of these deals. I want you to think about this for a minute. Imagine if you were in a tax situation where you had a lot of money. I'm going to kind of go off the path here a little bit, but think about this just for a minute. What if, Tony, they were to acquire one of these lots, and let's say that you were a high net worth individual and you made a lot of money and you had a tax problem. That means you have a good income situation, so you owe a lot of taxes. You know, what if you could do this? What if you could buy? I just saw this 6 weeks ago. This guy bought this huge, it wasn't fully improved. Okay, it was partially improved lot on the outskirts of town. He paid $13,000 for it and donated it to a church.
Right.
Okay, he got a $100,000 tax deduction by doing that, reducing his tax liability, which he carried forward for 5 years at
right.
the time. So there's many, many things that you can – I mean, you guys, again, Tony just talked about the live workshop and some of the online training. These are the things we really drill deep on. We talk
right.
about these things. We show you these examples because it's not just buying liens and deeds. There's just so many practical strategies that meet everybody's needs within tax liens and
right.
deeds.
Right. So let me give you some numbers on a deal we did. So we acquired 63 lots. Water, sewer, electricity, telephone, paved streets and gutters were in. The fair market value, the appraisal value of those 63 properties was $405,000. $405,832 is what it appraised for. Our purchase price was $32,450. We actually acquired them for 8 cents on the dollar. So again, in a area where, or in a with a type of property that most people were scratching their head on, what the heck are these guys going to do? Well, again, we're at 8 cents on the dollar. So we're
the newspaper even called us developers.
Yeah, the newspaper calls us developers. There was an article written up on it. So we just we liquidated the property. We turned around, sold all 63 lots for $182,624. So we sold them for 45 cents on the dollar. Again, price solving all issues. If we would have bought those at, you know,
10 grand or
yeah, I mean, if we were buying them for 75 cents on the dollar, it wouldn't work.
Wouldn't work out, yeah.
If we even bought it for 50 cents on the dollar, it wouldn't work out.
Well, here, let's talk about this for a minute. So we got some great profit on that. You got a lot of properties there. Let's talk about some ideas, Tony, that you can give some people on liquidating these types
of
properties.
Sure, I mean, and that's always a good question. Well, and so we sold them for 45 cents on the dollar. It took us about 3 months.
3 months. So some of the process, I mean, what do you think about this? Here is a subdivision. What does a subdivision already have?
Everything.
Brochures.
Yeah.
Because they were already, you know,
they're already master, marketing. Yeah,
yeah, marketing,
they're,
master
they're
plan
already
community.
A master plan community.
How many of you on the phone or on the CD, listening to the CD, have actually gone to one of these where you go to the model homes? That's what we're talking about, those brochures. So all of that stuff is available for you on marketing. You could list them on Craigslist, eBay. There is a gentleman in the United States right now in the Southwest who this is all he does. He acquires these properties, he sells them, he carries the financing, and this guy's bringing in thousands and thousands of dollars in payment checks every single month. And he goes, what do I care? If they don't pay him, I own the property, I sell them to, you know.
Exactly. Somebody else. And again, we're all about just liquidating the property. I mean, when you I want you guys to think about this just for a second. If you saw a property that was on the market and you saw the appraisal was $405,000 and you could buy it today for $182,000, how many people would buy it? Well, most people would jump at the chance.
Right.
And that's really what we did. By listing a property for 45 cents on the dollar, it liquidates quickly in any market,
any condition at all. I mean, you know, it's just
again, you know, we had real estate agents who were selling the properties
yep.
for us. You know, we listed a bunch of the properties with a bunch of different real estate agents. We did a mass mailing to all of the builders in the area saying, hey, we know these properties weren't available before, but we do have properties available now if you want to acquire just one or two properties to build a house on. And we sold a bunch of properties that way. Some of the neighbors, a lot of these lots were in between homes, and so we sold them to the next door neighbors.
No, I saw one of them. There was a judge that lived on one of the properties. His in-laws lived not next to him, but there was a lot between them, and they wanted to buy the lot, fence it off, and because they had golden retrievers.
Right.
And so they wanted to do that. And it was funny because when he talked to me on the phone, he's like, Sean, I know what you do. And I know how you bought them. I go, okay, Judge, what do you want to do? He goes, well, and he made me a fair price, and it was exactly what he got, a great deal. You know?
And again, you don't have to be some marketing guru. When you own property for 8 cents on the dollar, you don't have to be some real estate mogul to sell it for 45 cents on the dollar.
Right.
All you got to really do is put a sign on it at 45 cents on the dollar, list it on the open market, list it with a competent real estate agent. 45 cents on the dollar, and it will liquidate quickly.
Well, and here's another thing, too, when you're doing that, talk about, you know, you don't have to be some guru at it. I mean, this is what we call the money machine, because let's say you have 15 of these properties, Tony,
right.
Just for example. And let's say you paid, you know, $500 a piece for it. So you've got yourself $7,500 invested, and then you get a hold of a realtor and you say, hey, that knows that particular subdivision, sells a property at, you know, 45 cents on the dollar. Let's just call it $5,000 to make this conversation simple. And he's going, all of a sudden this realtor is going, man, I got somebody here that's willing to liquidate these things for $5,000. What I mean by the money machine, I got to know the lady down at the postal annex, because she was notary. I'd go down there, hey, Grace, how's it going? And, you know, she'd notarize all the documents on there. I'd put them in a FedEx deal, and three or four of those every single month was going out. And every single month, you know, I had a net profit of $15,000, $20,000. It was...
And the other thing is this,
people,
I don't have $32,000 like you guys. Well, you could have acquired one property for $500.
Yeah.
You didn't have to buy all 63.
Exactly.
You could have acquired one for $500, sold them for $3,000, took the $2,500 profit, went back and acquired more property. So,
Whoa, back up. That particular deal, that's exactly what we did.
Yep.
We did it the first pass and then went back again, and there were some more coming up there.
We actually, our second round at that, in that particular county, we bought, the second time we went back, it was 101 properties exactly.
Yep.
And we've been doing it ever since as well. And in today's marketplace, these deals still exist for everyone. So it's just a niche. It's a great niche for anyone to get started in, and we highly recommend it. And through the advisors in our office, they all know this strategy extremely well.
And the thing I want you to take away from this CD is you know, tax deeds are fantastic. They're great. Do a little balance. Do some liens. Do some deeds. But the money solves all issues is really important, because you're getting these properties. I mean, we talked about the first example at $8,000. How many different scenarios did we look at that we could get rid of that property? Those of you just getting started, Tony just gave you a phenomenal outline of the lots and what we were able to do with those on a consistent basis. So there's a little of something for everybody.
Yep. Hey, you know, I want to give a little plug. I mean, because most of the people listening to this CD have the option to come to one of our live two-day events.
Right.
And we want you guys to – and here's what happens sometimes. Sometimes our live two-day training isn't right in your city.
Yeah.
And which means you have to get on a plane and travel to wherever we're at. And I know sometimes you're weighing the option on you know, is it worth it? Let me tell you. Let me guarantee you.
It's worth it.
You come and sit down with us for two full days, face-to-face, and where you can be in an interactive environment with other students just like yourself, where we're doing hands-on exercises.
You're sitting at a table with other students. You've got group exercises. Everybody's evaluating the different deals and figuring out what they're going to do.
Every question that pops in your mind gets answered.
Right.
We have strategy sessions. We have masterminding sessions. We have
lunch.
Yeah, we have lunch.
We eat. We don't just go 12 hours straight.
And we have other students who are already successful through our programs.
Let me be a little precautionary, though, Tony, because we don't do these all the time.
Yeah.
You will get an email invitation. That is the only way. We're not going to send you out a handwritten old-fashioned mail. We just don't do that anymore. And the last event that we just did filled up. We had 200 people. We capped it at 200 people, and it was in 4 hours.
Let's talk about why we do that. So we always, when we train live in a live face-to-face format, in this two-day live training event, we always cap it off at 200 people. And the reason is this, is we have learned over 20 years of training other people that anytime we even go one person over that, it becomes less effective.
Yes.
And so we can
less effective as far as teaching you.
Yeah, well, teaching you and you learning and everyone getting it, because we take
people.
A team of people there,
mm-hmm.
and Sean and I are both there to train, and we know for a fact that's our number, that's our optimum number, and we no longer for under.
So we shut it down.
Yeah,
we shut it down. So you don't call the office and say put me on the list. You know, literally, you will get an email invitation. Click on it, register, boom, make it happen. If you don't have a ticket, you won't make it.
And just plan on going.
Just
the office to find out what our schedule is going to be. I would just plan on getting to one as fast as possible.
Right. So when you see the email come up, we usually do this, though. We go, hey, listen, we've got one coming up. Keep an eye on your email. Usually it's about getting hotel set up and all this other good stuff. East Coast, West Coast, you know, Texas, wherever it's available and it's convenient. So
great.
Look forward to seeing you guys out there.
Yep, and so to wrap up this CD, just want to remind you we have a couple of other extremely, extremely valuable training sessions coming up. We have a training session that is specifically on your retirement and really just how do you build a and again, I want you guys to wrap your mind around this. What about retiring as a millionaire?
Right.
And not in some way.
Here's a question. If you had $1 million in your retirement account right now, would you make decisions on a day-to-day basis differently? Would you have a different job? Would you tend to your kids? You know, if you knew for a fact, Tony, that you were going to have $1 million in your retirement, that's the question I want to ask everybody or want to think about until we get to that CD. Would you make decisions on a day-to-day basis? How would your commute home be? Would your shoulders be a little more relaxed? We're going to show you exactly how to do that. There's a formula for it.
Awesome. So, till next time.
Have a good day. Thanks.